Testament. Because I mentioned the other night, we still believe that those things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so the book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, I'm just going to lift one verse and then we'll begin our lesson tonight. In the book of Jeremiah, and hopefully you're there, Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse number 8. Now, to rather than read all of this, I'll just quickly explain what's going on in this text. At this time, God's people have been disobedient. The children of Judah have turned their back on God. And so what was happening was the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar, they were getting ready to invade God's people and take them into captivity. And God wanted the king of Judah at this time, named Zedekiah, God wanted him to know, God said, because of your sins, you all are going to go into captivity. And God was telling him now, if you want to save your life, this is what you need to do. Yes. Don't fight it, because you got to accept the punishment because of your sins. Mm-hmm. Because you all have turned your back on me. God was telling them, I can no longer be there for you. And so therefore, when we read the book of Jeremiah 21 in verse number 8, these are the words that the Bible says. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. God was speaking through Jeremiah, and he told him because of what he had done. God says, you got a choice. Mm-hmm. He says, the way of life or the way of death. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that tonight. The way of life or the way of death. All of us tonight, we must decide where we're going to stand. Now, he says, the way of life and the way of death. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that, the warning that Zedekiah had, you know, it helped us to understand today that all of us are free moral agents. Oh, yes, yes. All of us, we must decide where we're going to stand religiously. And I want us to understand this tonight, that either we're in the way of life or we're in the way of death. Yeah. Now, God made all of us free moral agents where you and I can decide for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I need to tell us this, that even though we can decide things for ourselves, we must always be mindful of the fact that one day we're going to have to give an account to God.
Amen, amen.
The Bible is plain in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verse number 13, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse number 13, in the Old Testament, the Bible is plain where it reminds us in regards to the fact that the Bible says that let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Mm-hmm. The Bible said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. And the next verse says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible says, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so therefore, we're going to have to be mindful that a judgment day is going to come. Amen. And when that judgment day comes, we got to ask ourselves, am I in the way of life or am I in the way of death? Let's look at this tonight. The Bible says, let's go, brothers, to the book of Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. In Matthew 7 and verse number 13. Let's listen. The Bible says, go to read,
enter
sir.
Ye
enter ye in. No, don't miss this now. The Bible says there's a way of life. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, that word straight, it's not talking about the idea. It's not straight as in a straight line. But this straight here is restricted.
Yes.
In other words, in the way of life, you just can't do whatever you want to do. In the way of life, we got to be mindful that we are not free to do whatever we want to do. And so the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Go to read, sir.
For wide is the gate.
Now the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For the Bible says, for wide, watch this now, for wide is the gate.
And broad is the way.
And the Bible said, not only is it wide, but the Bible said it's broad. Go to read, sir.
That leadeth to destruction.
But the Bible says you got to look at the end. Over in the way of death is wide. You can do whatever you want to do. It's broad. But the Bible says you got to look at the end. For the Bible said the end is destruction. The Bible says wide gate, broad way. But the Bible said it leadeth to death. Is leading to destruction. We're going to read, sir.
And many there be.
And don't miss this now. The Bible says, and many, many, the majority of people are going to find themselves in the way of death. Well, why is that, Brother Brown? Because you're going to have so many who will not give their life to Jesus Christ. And we got to understand this. Sometimes people say, well, Brother Pounds, why is it that the Church of Christ is not in the majority? Well, you got to understand, when you got God on your side, you always in the majority. Amen, amen, yeah, we got to be mindful of that. The Bible says when it come down to destruction, that most people are going to lose their lives.
Yes.
Most people are going to suffer destruction at that last day because they're in the way of death. And my friend, I want you to understand, God doesn't need a lot of people to do anything.
No.
I said God can take just one man and fulfill his plan.
Amen.
I say when God wanted to start the human race, God started with one man. One man, Adam. When God wanted to preserve the human race, God started with one man by the name of Noah. When God wanted one man to be the king, he chose over his people. God chose one man by the name of David. When God needed a prophet for his people, God chose one man by the name of Isaiah. There on Mount Carmel, fighting against the 450 prophets of Baal, God only had one man. And I come by here to tell you that one man, Elijah, stood up for God. When it come down to doing what God wanted his people to do, wisdom for his people, God had one man by the name of Solomon. When God needed somebody to close the Old Testament, God used one man by the name of Malachi. When God needed one man to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, he chose John the Baptist. When God needed one man in regard to saving the human race, God chose the man, Jesus Christ. I want you to know when it comes down to God, God doesn't need a lot of folk. God just needs somebody who will have an obedient heart. And so the Bible said, listen, in the way of death is wide, is broad. But the Bible said it leadeth to death, and many there be which go in thereat. But the Bible said, but straight is the gate.
And
then the Bible said, and narrow is the way. Come on, read, sir.
Which leadeth unto life.
But the Bible said, this way leads unto life.
Amen.
And few there be
that find it.
That find it. And so therefore, we got to ask ourselves tonight, am I in the way of life or am I in the way of death? And I want us to see this tonight. I just thought that I would just bring a simple message tonight. Because I want us to understand this tonight. Because God has a way of life. That God has a way of life. And Jesus said, this way leads to eternal life. This way leads to life. And I want us to see this tonight because you got to be careful religiously. Because what the devil has done, because the devil could not stop God from doing what he was going to do. God, the devil could not stop God from providing us a plan of salvation. The devil could not stop the way of God. So what the devil decided to do, he tried to camouflage what God has done. The devil wants people to think. He wants people to think that they're actually in the way of life when in fact they're in the way of death. Let's look at a couple of things on tonight. Let's study tonight. Well, first thing I would submit to you in regards to the way of life, in regards to God, in regards to his people, helping his people to understand what it is that he wants them to do. I want you to see this, that God, that God did, in fact, that God had prophets. God had prophets in the Bible. God, in days gone by, God, in the way of life, God had prophets. And a prophet, two words, pro, which means before, fet, sound, or to speak. A prophet is one who spoke beforehand. A prophet is one who was a spokesman for God, who would tell you what it was God was going to do. Now, God in the Old Testament, and we see that God had prophets. God had prophets. I know that's right, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, in Hebrews 1:1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so God had prophets in regards to speaking and proclaiming his word. Now you got to understand, God had prophets, and so the devil said, well, since God has prophets, guess what? I'm going to get me some prophets. And you got to be mindful, God had prophets, and since the devil couldn't stop God's plan, the devil said, I'm going to get me some prophets. All right, the Bible, let's go back to our text. In the book of Jeremiah, look at chapter 23, Jeremiah 23, and we'll start reading. Let me see here. Let's start reading around verse number 9. Jeremiah 23 in verse number 9. Watch what the Bible says.
My heart within me is broken.
He said, my heart within me is broken.
Because of the prophets.
Come on and read.
All my bones shake.
Yes, come on.
I am like a drunken man.
Come on and read.
And like a man whom wine hath overcome.
Come on and read.
Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness.
Yes.
For the land is full of adulterers.
Yes.
For because of swearing, the land mourneth.
Yes.
The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up.
God says, in essence, what's happening is you had prophets mm-hmm. and you had the priests mm-hmm. who were not saying what God wanted them to say.
That's right.
You had prophets back then who were saying whatever they want to say. Now, in difference of time, drop down to verse 21. Let's look at verse number 21, because you got to be careful. You know, just like the warning was back then, we got to be careful today. Because just because a man or woman says that they are speaking for God, you got to make sure you check with the Bible, the word of God. Amen. Watch what the Bible says in verse 21. Come on and read.
I have not sent these prophets.
You see what God said? There were some prophets that went out. Mm-hmm. And God says, I have not sent these prophets.
Yet they ran.
Yet they ran.
I have not spoken to them.
God said, I didn't say nothing to them.
Yet they prophesy.
But yet they out there prophesying. Back home, if I was back home, we don't say prophesying. We say they prophesying. All right. Yeah, go to read, sir. Go ahead and read. Watch the book.
But if they had stood in my counsel.
God says, if they had stood in my counsel.
And had caused my people
and
to
caused
hear
my
words,
people to hear my words.
Then they should have turned them from their evil ways.
Then they would have turned them from their evil ways.
And
come
from,
on.
And from the evil of their doing.
And from the evil of their doing. Come on.
Am I a God at hand?
God says, am not I? Am not I a God at hand?
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
And not a God afar off.
God says, I'm not a God that's a God that's far off. Come on, read.
Can any hide himself in secret places?
God says, God is so awesome. God said, nobody can hide from me.
That
come on, read, sir.
That I shall not see him.
God said that I won't see him. Come
saith
on.
The Lord.
Saith the Lord.
Do not I fill the heaven
God
the
said
earth?
My presence filled the heaven and earth. Come
saith
on.
The Lord.
Saith the Lord.
I have heard what the prophet said.
Listen to God. God said, I've heard what these prophets have said.
That prophesy lies.
God said they are prophesying, but they are prophesying lies.
In my name.
And they're doing it in my name.
Saying.
Now this is why you got to be careful. Just because somebody say that they're a preacher, you, my friend, you got to check behind what they're saying.
Yes.
It's not enough just for a man to say he's a preacher. It's not enough for a man to say he's a spokesman for God. He must be preaching what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
Paul, don't have time. Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and around verse number 15. Paul said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. What should the preacher preach? He said, preach the word. Be instant, be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. He said, endure affliction, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and my departure is at hand. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. What should the preacher preach? You got to preach the word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just preach the word of God. And so therefore, let's go back. You're still there, my brother? Jeremiah 23, you didn't turn, did you? You didn't turn. Oh, he turned. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah. And you would get to the good part too, my brother, in Jeremiah 23. All right, let's start. I guess you stop around verse, like pick around verse number 27, if you don't mind. Watch what the Bible says, Jeremiah 23, 27. Watch what the book says.
Which thing? To cause my people to forget my name.
God says what these prophets are doing, they are getting the people to forget my name. Come on, read, sir.
By their dreams.
Because they are telling you, I dreamed.
Yeah.
And they're telling you, God spoke to me in my dreams. But I come by here to tell you, that's not how God talks today. You want to know how God, I'm glad, let me just stay right there. You want to know how God talks today? Well, we just dealt with that. In Hebrews 1:1, God, who has sundry times and divers manners, spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, but hath in the last days. How does God speak? He speaks to us through the Son. Well, since God speaks through the Son, how does the Son speak? I'm glad you asked me that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7. The Bible says, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. If you want to know what God says, check with the Son. If you want to know what the Son says, you got to check with the book. Because he speaks to us only through the Bible, the word of God. God doesn't speak to somebody through the trackless air. God doesn't speak to folk in their dreams. God talks to us through the word of God. If you want to know what God says, you got to pick up the word. You got to pick up the word. He says, these prophets of old, they got my people going away from me because they're telling folk about their dreams. And people all over, I hear this all over. Back home, I hear this all the time. Preachers talking about the fact God spoke to them in their dream while they were dreaming. That God spoke. You know, they act as if God is a shy God and God has to sneak around to do stuff. But the God I serve, God doesn't have to sneak around or do anything. God is God all by himself. When he talked to Moses on that mountain, the Bible says it was booming and shaking. The mountain was full of smoke. And the Bible said that God's people was afraid to even come near it. And even told Moses, we don't want to hear his voice. Let God talk to you. And then you just tell us what God says. I want you to understand when it comes down to God, God is God all by himself. And another thing, that's why we call God reverend. Yeah, we don't call man reverend because reverend is God's name. Psalm 111 and verse number 9, the Bible says, first, and I don't have time, this is not in my lesson, but y'all looking like y'all interested. This is not in my lesson. Well, first of all, the Bible says in Psalm 111 verse number 9, the Bible says he. That knocks out a woman. The Bible said he. I said, that's why a woman can't be a preacher. The Bible said he. They got running around back home calling women reverend. But the Bible said he. He sent redemption unto his people. So whoever we're talking about, they have to have people that they redeemed. He sent redemption unto his people. And then, number two, he commanded his covenant forever. In other words, you got to live as long a covenant is only in existence as long as a person is living. The person who makes the covenant, the person who makes the, give their word, they got to live long enough for that covenant, my friend, to be enacted. So the Bible said, number one, you got to be a man. You got to live, my friend, and have a people you can redeem. And then you got to live long enough for this everlasting covenant. As long as it's in effect, you have to still be alive. He commanded his covenant, how long? Forever. Since man can't live forever, this knocks him out. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name, not man's name. And reverend means awesome. Who else but God is awesome? I know he's awesome because when there was nothing in existence. Amen. He spoke to nothing. Amen. And nothing that wasn't even in existence heard him. Amen. And nothing became something. Amen. He took the nothing that came from something and threw it out in nowhere where there was nowhere to throw it. And nowhere became somewhere. Amen. When he threw it out, and y'all gonna make me preach here tonight. I'm just trying to explain this. When he threw it out in nowhere, nowhere got a longitude, a latitude, and an address. Amen. When God spoke, the sun started shining. Amen. When God spoke, the moon took to the evening and ruled the night. Amen. When God spoke, land came up out of the rivers. Amen. When God spoke, mountains stood at attention and valleys bowed their head. When God spoke, the mountains, my friend, gave obedience to them, and the cattle settled on top of the hills. When God spoke, birds learned how to fly and fish learned how to swim. When God spoke, God is so awesome that God spoke and time started ticking. I stopped by to tell somebody tonight, the God we serve is an awesome God. He's awesome. He's awesome all by himself. And so I got to hurt. I'm just on my first point. I'm just on point number one. The Bible says now that God had prophets, and the devil said, well, since you got prophets, I'm gonna get me some prophets. And he says, these fellows, they're making my people forget my name through their dreams. How come on to read, sir? You didn't turn. Are he back over there? Come on.
Which they tell every man.
Watch this. Which they tell every man
to his neighbor.
To his neighbor.
As their fathers have forgotten my name.
Watch this. Now they're doing just like their fathers. Their fathers forgot. Come on, read.
My name.
They forgot my name.
For Baal.
For Baal, come on.
The prophet that hath a dream.
Watch this now. God says to the prophet, if you go to sleep and have a dream,
let him tell a dream.
Just tell the folk I went to sleep and had a dream. Don't tell the folk that I spoke to you through your dream. God doesn't speak through people's dreams. And so I don't have time. Let me hurry. And so what happened, what you see, my friend, in regards to the fact that in the way of life, God had prophets to speak his word. And the devil said, well, since God has prophets, I'm going to get me some too. But then not only that, but I need to help you to see this. Number two, quickly, that God had apostles. God had a and you know, we got folk today get Acts chapter 1, verse number 20. Uh-huh. Acts chapter 1, verse number 20. Just like God had prophets, you got, and I want you to see this, because you got folk running around today calling themselves apostles. But you got to understand, there's a qualification to an apostle. There were qualifications to an apostle. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 20. Watch what the Bible says.
For it is written in the book of Psalms.
Go to read.
Let his habitation be desolate.
Talking about Judas. Let his habitation be desolate.
And let no man dwell there.
And let no man dwell there. Come on, read.
And his bishopric.
And his office, his bishopric.
Let another take.
Let another take. Come on.
Wherefore of these men.
Watch this now. Wherefore of these men.
Which have accompanied with us.
The men who have been with us, who accompanied with us. Come on.
All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us.
Watch this now. We're going to find us a man. And he had to have been with us. Mm-hmm. When the Lord went in and out among us. Come on, read, sir.
Beginning from the baptism of John.
Now, you have to be alive and a witness. Amen. The time Jesus was baptized by John. Come on.
Until that same day.
Until that same day.
That he was taken up
that
from
Jesus
us.
Was taken up from us.
Must one be ordained.
Must one be ordained.
To be a witness with us.
You see, the Bible says, so in other words, there were qualifications. Amen. For an apostle. When they eventually chose Matthias, he had to have been with them. There were certain things he had to have witnessed. He had to witness Jesus being baptized by John from the time Jesus boarded a cloud and took it on back to heaven. Well, if a person called themselves an apostle today, then therefore they had to be around. That means if they're not at least 2,000 years old, you know they're not telling the truth. Well, and I want you to understand this. Not only that, but the Lord, not only did he have apostles, let me just do this quickly, but the Lord has ministers today. Amen. I say he has ministers today. Amen. And we talked about that. Now, minister is not just one who does whatever he wants to do. A minister, that's an interesting word, minister. Minister. Yeah. When the Bible, when they cause a stir, that means they cause a commotion. That means when you preach, if you preach the word, you're gonna cause a commotion. Folk need to be disturbed by the word. Those who are not living right, the word ought to cause a commotion in their life. Every time the word is preached, there ought to be a minister. Stuff ought to be stirred up. I said the evil ought to be exposed. And individuals who are not living right ought to recognize they are not right with God. And so therefore, a minister, and I said this before and I say this again, God never had in mind for a woman to be a preacher. God never had in mind for a woman to be a minister. Now, I know we got them today, and I told you before, the only reason women rise up, whenever men are sorry, women rise up. Ooh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm just trying to help you. To understand. You know, back home we have a lot of issues in regards to women rising up, and I've explained this. Because women rise up when men are sorry, they rise up. I'm trying to hurry and get past this. Therefore you gotta be mindful that it doesn't matter what happens in man's house. That does not change the word of God. If you're not following the word of God, that's not gonna change the word. Because the word is forever and is settled in heaven. You gotta be mindful. You gotta be mindful of that. We gotta make sure we are mindful of doing things God's way. I said a woman was never authorized by God to preach. Paul made that abundantly clear. Let's look at that quickly. That's not in my lesson, but y'all looking like y'all interested in this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse number 33, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul starts off by saying that God is not the author
of confusion.
He starts off, first of all, before I get ready to say what I'm going to say, I need y'all to understand God is not the author of confusion. But God is a God of peace.
Yes.
And that helps us to understand, church, wherever there's confusion, it's the absence of God. I say, wherever you find confusion, God is not there. If there's confusion in your home, that's because God is not there. If you want peace, invite God to come back in your home. If you want peace in your marriage, allow God to come back in your marriage. You want peace in your life, allow God to come back into your life. Because wherever God is, there is peace. Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but God is a God of peace. Now watch the book. Now he said God is a God of peace. And the book says, come on and read.
As in all churches.
Watch this now. As in all churches. Come on and read.
Let your women.
He said, let the woman.
Keep silence in the churches.
Now, because what was happening now, I don't have time to deal with all of this. But in verse number 40, what Paul was doing, Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. Because what happened down in Corinth, there were some women, the wives of the prophets, who were rising up, speaking during that public assembly. And so Paul says, first of all, I'm writing this to help you to understand there has to be order. When it comes to these spiritual gifts, there has to be order. Now some folks say, well, Paul was a male chauvinist. Well, in verse number 37, 1 Corinthians 14, 37, Paul said, acknowledge that the things I write, they are the commandments of the Lord.
That's right.
So Paul said, what I'm writing are the commandments of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I'm just writing to help you to understand that everything must be done decently
and in order.
And so he said, let your women keep silent
in the churches.
In the churches. Come on, sir.
For it is not permitted.
Watch this now. It's not allowed by God.
Right. Come on, read. Them,
unto them.
To speak.
To speak.
But they are commanded.
They are commanded.
To be under obedience.
You see the Bible says? Under obedience.
As also saith the law.
All right. So Paul was just reminding them in regards to what the word of God has said. Now let's go, brothers, to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11, let's see what the word of God said. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11.
Let the woman learn in silence.
Learn in silence.
With all subjection.
With all subjection.
But I suffer not a woman.
Because he said, I suffer not a woman.
To teach.
To teach.
Nor to usurp authority.
But she cannot usurp. She cannot take authority.
Over the man.
Over that man. Now, I don't know what happens in your house, but this is the Lord's house tonight. I said, in the Lord's house.
Yes.
She cannot take over authority.
That's right.
In the Lord's house.
Amen.
All right, the Bible, she cannot usurp authority. Go to read, sir.
But to be in silence.
But she's to be in silence.
For Adam.
Because, and he's going to explain. He's going to explain why he said what he said. He said because Adam.
Was first formed.
Because you got to understand this. This goes back to creation. Mm-hmm. God made the man first. And whatever came after that which was created, that which came first was to show leadership to that which came after.
Yes.
He said it was Adam who was formed first.
Then Eve.
Then Eve. Come and read.
And Adam was not deceived.
And Adam wasn't the one that was deceived.
But the woman
being deceived.
Was in the transgression.
Was in the transgression. Come on.
Notwithstanding. She shall be saved in
childbearing. A woman can't be saved. Now, he mentioned about childbearing. He wasn't saying a woman, in order to go to heaven, you got to have a child. But what he was talking about was the role of the woman. In a husband and wife relationship, the role of the woman, she's the one that bears the children. So he's saying if a woman wants to be saved, she has to stay within her role. And the role of a woman is not to preach. Women can do a lot of things in the church. And I tell my brother back home, Brother Mitchell, I said, if all the sisters in Hilltop, if they decide to get up and leave and start their own work, I got one sermon for those brothers. Oh, yeah. Finally, brethren, farewell. Yeah, because I got to get up out of there. Because, yeah, I got to go with those sisters. Because they do all the work in the church. Amen, somebody. I'm going to hurry. Well, let's look at what we have. The Lord has apostles. He has ministers. And they are, my friend, they must preach the word. Now the Bible said a woman cannot usurp authority over the, I know where I was. She cannot usurp authority over the man. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse, before I go there, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. And we talked about this before, that there are three elements of preaching. There are three elements of preaching. Whenever Brother Mitchell is before God's people, whenever I preach, whatever the situation is, there are three things we are doing. One of three things we are doing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says,
preach the word.
Preach the word.
Be instant in season.
Watch it now. Be instant in season.
Out of season.
Out of season.
Reprove.
Reprove. Number one, reprove. Number two, rebuke.
Rebuke. Exhort.
Number three, exhort.
With all
reprove,
authority.
Rebuke, exhort with all authority. Whenever somebody's preaching, either they're reproving, rebuking, or exhorting. When it comes down to preaching, that minister, he has to do three things. If it's wrong, he has to point out it's wrong. If it's wrong, he has to show you how to get it right. Number three, if it's right, he has to encourage you to keep on doing right. That minister, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all authority. You got to do it with all authority. Let's look at Titus chapter 2 at verse number 15. The reason a woman can't preach, remember, she cannot usurp authority over the man. Titus 2:15, the Bible says,
these things speak.
Now Paul, writing to a young son in the gospel, Titus, he said, these things speak.
And exhort.
And he's given us two of the three elements of preaching. These things speak.
And exhort.
And exhort.
And rebuke.
And rebuke.
With all authority.
And when you do it, you got to do it with all authority. Yeah. Well, what's the problem with a woman? She doesn't have all authority. Because she cannot usurp the authority over the man. Well, Brother Powell, these men are sorry. You can't usurp authority and start preaching. You got to do what God told you to do. Listen, I got to hurry, got to hurry. I say that a lot. It don't mean nothing. Just a filler in. Now, listen, I want you to see this now. In the way of life, God had prophets. God had apostles. God had ministers. So the devil couldn't stop it. So the devil said, guess what? I'm going to get me some. Devil said, since he has apostles, let me get me some. Get for me 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse number 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 13, I want you to watch what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 13, watch what the Bible says.
For such are false apostles.
See, the Bible says, the devil says, since I can't stop the Lord, I'm going to get me some. The Bible said, but such are false apostles. Come on.
Deceitful workers.
The Bible said, these are nothing. If a person call himself an apostle today, they are nothing but deceitful workers.
Transforming themselves.
And the Bible said they transformed themselves
into the apostles of
Christ. Into an apostles of light. Come on, read.
And no marvel.
And no, don't listen, and no surprise. Come on, read.
For Satan himself.
For Satan himself.
Is transformed. Into an angel of light.
Into an angel of light. Therefore.
It is no great thing. If his ministers also.
The devil has preachers.
As the ministers of righteousness.
I say the devil has preachers. And that's why you got to be careful. You can't believe everything just because somebody's saying it. And that's why I say all the time, when somebody preaches, they ought to be giving you book, chapter, and verse. And not just lip, tongue, and teeth. When it comes down to the word of God, we got to preach the word. We got to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And so therefore, what we see here in regards to the way of life, God had prophets who spoke his word. And I don't have time to deal with all of that. But listen, in Revelation 22:18, all prophecy today is in the book. I didn't have time to deal with all that, but all prophecy is in the book. God had apostles back then. We saw the qualification. And God has ministers today. Well, the devil decided, since he got... those, then the devil decided, I'm going to get me some prophets. I wish I had time to deal with that in Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 20, because there's a test of a prophet. I don't have time to deal with all of this, but there's a test of a prophet. If a man come and say that he's a prophet, there's a test. Well, watch this quickly. If you have it, go and read.
But the prophet. Which shall presume to speak a word in my name.
God said, if somebody come to presume to speak a word in my name.
Which I have not commanded.
God said, listen, which speak. I did not command them to speak.
Or that shall speak in the name of other gods.
Watch this now. Or they going to come and speak a name of false gods.
Even that prophet.
Even that prophet. God said, listen, the condemnation on that prophet. God said, that prophet is going to die.
And
come on, read, sir.
And if thou say in thine heart.
What? If you say in your heart.
How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not
spoken?
Watch
this. How shall we know? How shall we know? Because remember now, they didn't have access the way we have access today. Yeah. They wouldn't know. How can we know? Go ahead and read, sir.
When a prophet speaketh.
If a prophet speaks.
In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
If the thing follow not.
If it doesn't come to pass.
Nor come to pass.
Come on and read.
That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken.
You see what the Bible says? And it's amazing. You turn on television today. You listen to these guys. And they're sitting there. I remember this one guy. He was sitting there prophesying. In regards to the fact about. The fact that he prophesied that his mom was going to live again. She had died, and he prayed over her, and he told the congregation of people, he said, my mama is coming back. She died. She's still dead. Now that would have been enough for me. Now you know if a person can do a miracle, if mama died, you're going to bring mama back. Now daddy, a little questionable, but you're going to bring mama back. And it's amazing to me how those people still follow him today. Because he proved that he was not a prophet of God. Because a prophet, the Bible says, he's going to tell you what's going to happen. And then it happens. If it does not happen, let you know he's not a prophet of God. And so the Bible says, listen, that there were false prophets. There were false apostles. There were false ministers. And because the devil, he could not stop. He could not stop the work of God. And so what we see, my friend, is the devil's trying to duplicate everything that God has done. But then I need you to see something else, that the Lord has a doctrine. Go to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 41. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, I want you to see this tonight, that God has a doctrine. He has a doctrine. All right, if you have that, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, watch what the Bible says.
Then they that gladly received his word.
The Bible said, then they that gladly received the word.
Were baptized.
They were baptized.
And the same day.
Same day.
There were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Go to read.
And they continued steadfastly.
And they continued steadfastly.
In the apostles' doctrine.
The Bible says, in the apostles' doctrine
and fellowship.
Watch this. They stayed in the doctrine. One doctrine. Don't miss this now. Mm-hmm. Now, what the devil has done, since the devil could not stop the Lord's doctrine, what he's done, he has multiple doctrines. Okay. I want you to watch this now, because there's an S on the end. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. And then I need Matthew 15 and verse number 8. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, watch what the Bible says.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Now the Bible said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
That in the latter times.
In the latter times.
Some shall depart.
Some shall depart from the faith.
Giving heed.
Giving heed.
To seducing spirits.
To seducing spirits.
And doctrines.
And is there an S on the end of doctrine?
Yes.
The Bible said, and doctrines. God has one doctrine, and the devil has many doctrines. Yes. Why do we think there are so many different religions? Because all these religions, they have different doctrines. And that's, I don't have time. Ooh, if I had time, I would tell y'all again about A, Assemblies of God, B, the Baptists, C, the Catholics, D, Disciples of Christ, E, Episcopalians, F, First Assembly, G, Church of God in Christ, H, the Holiness, I, Independent Baptist, J, Jehovah Witness, K, Kingdom Living, L, Lutherans, M, Methodist, N, New Birth, O, Open Fellowship, P, Pentecostals, Q, Quakers, R, Reformers, S, Seventh-day Adventists, T, Theological Society, U, Unitarians, V, Victory Outreach, W, Watch Star Society, X. There's no denomination. Start with X. Got to skip over X, Y, YMCA, and Z, and the Zealots. And because no denomination start with X, X every one of them out, because all of them are doctrines of men. The Bible says in Matthew 15 and verse number 8, Jesus said, this people, they draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips.
But their heart
is far from me. Yes. But he goes on to say, but in vain
they do worship me.
Watch this now. Teaching
for doctrines.
Is that S on the end?
Yes. Sir.
Teaching for doctrines.
The commandments of men.
You got to understand, in man-made institution, they have man-made doctrines. And man-made doctrines, you can do whatever you want to do. And that's what you got to understand. That's why they can meet whenever they want to meet. They can have any type of doctrine they want to, because it came from man. But you got to understand, in the final roundup of human affairs, what man has decided will not be the final say-so. God's word will be the final say-so. That's why Jesus said again in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. For the words I've spoken, the same words, they're going to judge you in the last day. Get from me 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 16. Go to 10:16. I'm sorry. Go to chapter 10 verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10:16.
The cup of blessing.
Now, I want you to watch this now. In the Lord, in the Lord's church, we have a worship. And the Bible says, read that again, sir.
The cup of blessing.
The cup of blessing.
Which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Now the Bible says, listen, in the Lord's church, we have communion. I want you to see this. We have communion. Recognizing every Lord's day what Jesus did for us that day on Calvary. We recognize that, and every now and then I have to explain to people. I remember I was talking some years ago to this denomination preacher. Didn't know he's a preacher at the time, and he was telling us about how we were doing it wrong in the Church of Christ. He had mentioned about the communion. He says that we were not, Brother Mitchell, he said that that in the cup, he says that there ought to be water in the cup. Yeah, he had mentioned that we ought to be taking unleavened bread, and he said, but you ought to have water in the cup. And I thought that was interesting. He said, you ought to have water in the cup. He said, because when Jesus was pierced in his side, out of his side came out water. And so, therefore, the water represents the blood. And so he said, when we take communion, we ought to be taking bread and water. And I was like, no, because we're not in prison. No, we're not in prison. And I said, what you miss and fail to understand is that Jesus, at that time, he was dead. And what he was helping us understand, and what the scriptures help us understand, that's how we contact the death of Jesus Christ. It is in his death, and I don't have time to deal with all of this, but we come into the church of Christ through the side. I said we come in through the side. Because the first Adam, Jesus is called the second Adam. The first Adam, God put Adam to sleep. Opened up his side, took out a rib, and he got his wife. When Christ was on the cross, the soldier pierced him in the side. And out of his side came out blood and water. That represents baptism. Because when you go in the water, you reach the blood. And then when you're baptized, you become a part of the church, which is the bride of Jesus Christ. I said, no, we don't take water for communion. And I took him to Matthew 26 and verse number 26. Again, let's look at that quickly. I had to help him understand. No, I said, you're looking at the fact of baptism. Jesus was already dead. I said, but when Jesus was alive, he told his disciples how to remember him. In Matthew 26 and verse number 26, the Bible says,
and as they were eating,
Jesus took bread.
And
blessed the bread.
And break it.
Broke the bread.
And gave it to his disciples
and said,
take
eat.
This is my body.
This is my body.
And he took the cup.
Then he took the cup.
And gave thanks.
Gave thanks for the cup.
And gave it to them.
Gave it to them.
Saying, drink ye all of it.
Everybody. And I told you before, some folk have a problem with this. They think this means one cup. Mm-hmm. Drink ye all of it. They say, well, is it? It means one. And therefore, everybody got a drink. And I told the folk back home, if they want to go to one cup, that's fine with me. But I got to drink first. Miss somebody. Yeah, I got to drink first. Amen. Well, no. What he's saying is nobody could drink for you. Everybody has to drink for themselves. No, I can't take communion for you. You got to take it for yourself. He said, drink ye all of it. Come on, read, sir.
For this is my blood.
But watch it now. He said, that's interesting, that Greek. And that Greek construct, this blood is my blood. I told you that. So whatever's in that cup is blood. Whatever we drink on Sunday, it has to be blood. Yeah. There has to be blood in the cup. Come on, this is my blood of the New Testament that is shed for many for the remission of sin. Come on and read.
But I say unto you. I will not drink henceforth. Of this fruit. Of the vine. Whatever we have in that cup,
it has to be a fruit that grows on a vine that has blood. The only thing we got to do is find a fruit that grows on a vine that has blood, and we will know what we ought to be drinking on Sunday to remember the death of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible said, don't have time, but Song of Solomon 2 and verse number 15, in the book of Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says in Song of Solomon, Old Testament, Song of Solomon 2 and verse number 15, the book says,
Take us the foxes,
the little foxes that spoil the vine.
For our vines have tender grapes.
Well, we found a fruit that grew on a vine. The Bible says that our vines have tender grapes. We found a fruit that grew on the vine, but do grapes have blood? Genesis 49 and verse 11. And the Bible said, Genesis 49 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible said. Genesis 49 and verse number 11. The Bible says,
Binding his foes unto the vine.
Come on and read.
And his ass colt unto
choice vine.
He washed his garments in wine.
And his clothes in the blood of the grape. I stopped by to tell you, I know we do it right in the church. Because there's a fruit that grows on the vine that has blood. Ooh, I don't have time. The Bible said now that in regards to the way of life, God has communion. Well, you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 21. The devil said, well, since the Lord has communion, guess what? I'm going to have me some communion too. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 21, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 21.
You cannot drink the cup of the Lord.
You can't drink the cup of the Lord.
And the cup of devils.
The devil. You know, and I look at this, you know, in regards to Paul was helping the church understand some things. And, you know, and I like the concept that, you know, that the cup of devils. You see, because you got some folk, the Lord's church, we take communion on the first day. And we use, by example, Acts 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, upon thee. That T-H-E is a definite article.
Thank you, sir.
That T-H-E is a definite article. It says, upon thee first. All right? T-H-E, it modifies the day of the week. The first day of the week. Now, it helps us understand every week has a first day. So whenever that first day comes in the week, then that's the day that they remembered Jesus Christ upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech unto midnight. And so therefore, we take the Lord's Supper, my friends, upon the first day of the week. Well, you got some, the devil has his communion. Some take it monthly, some take it quarterly, some take it yearly, some take it neverly. Well, in man-made doctrine and man-made religion, you can do whatever you want to do. But when it comes down to the way of life, you got to do what God says. just like God said it. And then, my friend, don't have time, but see, in regards to the way of life, God has a worship. He has a worship. Don't have time. John 4:23-24, hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And as your God has a worship. And the beautiful thing about that, it doesn't matter where you are. What a wonderful thing. Brother Mitchell, I'm all the way in the States. But it's awesome to know here, I in Jamaica, we are still worshiping God the same way. What a beautiful thing to think about. But listen, the devil, he couldn't stop the Lord's worship. So the devil decided, guess what? I'm going to have me some worships. Not just one. He's going to get him several worships. We looked at that in Matthew 15:8. He said, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, Jesus says. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Jesus says, in vain, vain worship. Vain worship. And then the Bible says, Acts 17:23, Paul said, there on Mars Hill, as I passed by, I beheld your devotion. And I noticed here an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. Vain worship. Ignorant worship. Colossians 2:23. The Bible said, with show of will worship. They got will. Will is self-imposed. Self-imposed. That means you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
If you want instruments, you do whatever you want to do. If you want women preachers, you do whatever you want to do. You want praise dancers, you do whatever you want to do. You want to do plays and skits, you do whatever you want to do. Because that's will worship or self-imposed worship, because you are ignoring what God says. It's vain worship. And my friend, because you're doing this, you are in the way of death. I don't have time, but my friend, listen. The Lord has one church. And I'm proud of the fact I'm in that church. I thank God I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I sleep good at night knowing I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And my friend, listen, as I try to appeal to you, if all of these different religions, if they are adequate to get you from earth to heaven, churches that were built by man, if these institutions are enough so that man can get from earth to heaven, then why in the world would God send his son to die such a violent death, to die in shame, if you and I could be a member of any church? Does it make any sense? You mean to tell me that man can build something just as good as the Lord? Something's wrong with that. Something is seriously wrong with that. The Church of Christ, and I'll deal with that preferably tomorrow night. The Church of Christ was prophesied that it was going to come. Isaiah talked about that in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, it was going to be established in the top of the mountains, that it was going to be exalted above the hills. And then he said, all nations are going to flow into it. He says, I don't have time. I keep checking my watch, but I don't want to keep it too long. I don't want to keep it too long. Listen, this church, Isaiah said, follow me. I don't know whether y'all can see over this podium or not. Isaiah said in regards to this church that it was going to come in the last days. Don't miss this. You want to know which church you ought to be a member of? It's coming in the last days. He goes on to tell us that all nations is going to be a church for all nations. He said, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at what he told us. The place is Jerusalem. The time is the last days. It's going to be for all nations. Now go quickly, brothers, to 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. In 2 Samuel 7 and verse number 12, because Nathan, talking to David, and Nathan was a prophet. We don't have time, but a prophet. He was a real prophet. Not like these false prophets over here. Because God used those, don't have time, Amos 3:7, that God will say nothing, but he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Nathan was a prophet. In verse number 2, 2 Samuel 7, 2, Nathan was a prophet. But in verse number 12, he's talking to David. Watch what the Bible says.
And when thy days be fulfilled.
David, when you are dead.
And thou shalt sleep with thy fathers.
When David is dead. Something going to happen, but it's not going to happen till David is dead. Go to read, sir.
I will set up thy seed.
I'm going to set up your seed.
After thee.
After you.
Which shall proceed out of thy bowels.
Proceed out of your bowels.
And I will establish his kingdom.
And I will establish his kingdom.
And he shall build an house.
He's going to build a house.
For my name.
God, speaking through the prophet Nathan, was telling David, this house, which is the church. 1 Timothy 3:15. This kingdom, which is the church. Matthew 16:18 and 19. It's going to come into existence. But David is not going to come to after you're dead. What we need to find quickly tonight, and I'm closing. Almost. I'm closing. We need to find the church. Started in Jerusalem. Started in the last times, last days, for all nations after David is dead. If we can find that church tonight, we would know which church we ought to be in to be in the way of life. Because if you're in any other institution, my friend, you're going to be in the way of death. The Bible says, let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
they were
all in one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. And watch what the Bible said. If you have a good read.
And there appeared unto them
cloven tongues like as a fire.
And it sat upon
each of them. Come on and read.
And they were all filled.
With the Holy Ghost.
And began to speak with other tongues.
And the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on and read.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem.
Hold on now. There was dwelling.
At Jerusalem.
I believe we got the right place.
Yes.
We're in Jerusalem. I want to know who was there in Jerusalem. Watch what the Bible says.
Jews. Devout men. Out of every nation. Under heaven.
Look at what we have. Four marks we're looking for. In Jerusalem. All nations are gathered. But let's find out what time is it. Drop down to verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says.
But Peter. Standing up with the 11.
Oh, I don't have time. Peter, church, standing up with the 11. You know, Peter recognized whenever prophecy was being fulfilled, Peter would stand up. I say when Peter recognized that I understand the fulfillment of prophecy, Peter, look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, quickly. Chapter 1 and verse 15. In chapter 1, verse 15, watch this quickly. Watch what the Bible says.
In those days.
In those days.
Peter stood up in the midst.
Peter stood up in the midst of them. Come on.
Of the disciples.
Of the disciples, it said.
The number of names together.
Yes.
Were about 120.
120. Come on.
Men and brethren.
Men and brethren.
This scripture
must needs have been fulfilled. When Peter saw scripture being fulfilled, Peter would stand up. Now go back to Acts chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now the Bible said Peter standing up with the 11.
Lifted up his voice. And said unto them. Ye men of Judea.
And all ye that dwell at Jerusalem.
Be this known unto you this day. And hearken unto my words.
Unto my words.
For these are not drunken.
These men are not drunk.
As you suppose.
Because they saw those apostles speaking in tongues. And they were speaking. And they heard them in the language where they were born. And they tried to explain it away. They said these men are drunk. Peter said, no, it's too early.
It's just the third.
Because the liquor stores are not open this early. It's 9 o'clock Sunday morning. And he said, these men are not drunken, as you suppose, but this is that
which
was spoken by the prophet Joel. Come on, to read.
And it shall come to
pass.
In the last days.
What's happening was happening in the last days. Look at what we have, church. We're in the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
All nations are gathered.
Yeah.
And it's in the last days.
Yes.
Now the last thing we need to find out is David dead. Drop down to verse number 29. Look at verse number 29. What does the Bible say?
Men and brethren. Let me freely speak unto you
of the patriarch David.
That he is both dead. And buried.
Not only is he dead, but he's buried.
And his sepulcher
is with us till this day. Now we can start looking for that church that was prophesied. Now we can start looking. Because the Bible tells us in Acts 2:36. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, he made them both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said, when they heard this, they were cut, they were pricked to the heart. Said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you, to your children, many that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word, they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Drop down to verse 47, the Bible says, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look at that church, those individuals. The Bible says when they were baptized, look at what happened. The Bible said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine was being taught. The Bible tells us that they prayed together. The Bible said they broke bread. They fellowshiped. They fellowshiped together. The Bible said they gave of their means to help one another. And then the Bible said they praised God. They praised God. How do we praise God? Hebrews 13:15, with the fruit of our lips, we praise God. Look at them. Look at them. The Bible says the Lord kept adding to that church. That's the church you ought to be a member of. That church that started in Acts chapter 2 on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the church you ought to be a member of. What is that church? That same church that Jesus says, I will build. The same church Jesus says, that church that's mine. I'm going to build my church. It belongs to me. But then as I close, the devil, he has religions too. In Revelation 2:9, in Revelation 2, verse number 9, listen what the book says. Revelation 2 and verse number 9.
I know thy works. And the tribulation.
And your tribulation.
And poverty.
Go ahead and read.
But thou art rich.
You are rich.
And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews.
Yes.
And are not.
They are not.
But are the synagogue of Satan.
The devil has synagogues today. All of these man-made institutions are nothing but worship places for the devil. And the devil's job, again, is to make you think you're over here when, in fact, you're over here. How does one, Brother Powell, become a member of that church? You got to do the same thing they did in Acts chapter 2. They heard about Jesus. the one that was crucified. You got to believe that just like they did. Be willing to repent like they did. Confess the fact that Jesus Christ is God's son. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. And then what's going to happen? The Lord's going to add you to the way of life. You're going to be in the way of life. Remember now, stay in that way. Because remember, we start off that way leads. It leads to life. But my friend, if you're over here, it's because of the fact you, my friend, maybe you are not listening carefully to what the Word of God says. And the Satan came along and tricked you and made you think that you're all right. I want you to understand this. There's blessings over here. But there's cursing over here. Now, as I close this message, my last scripture, this is my last one, I promise, until I think of something else. My last one. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. See, I could talk to you all night. I could talk to you all night. But listen, what we need to find out tonight, what does God want you to do? I could tell you, you need to be in the way of life. I need to tell you the Church of Christ is in the way of life. I can tell you that God had prophets that told us that Christ and the church would come. The apostles spoke for Jesus Christ. The ministers preach about Jesus and the church. The doctrine tells us of one church. There's one worship in the church. That church, my friend, belongs to Jesus Christ. You ought to be a member of that church tonight. There's the blessing of salvation if you're in that church tonight. I can tell you that all night long. Brother Mitchell can come and tell you why you ought to be in the way of life tonight. But I think we ought to listen to God tonight. Let's let God tell us. Should you stay in the way of death or should you come to the way of life? There are blessings here. There are curses here. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 19, what does the book say?
I call heaven
and earth
to record this day against you.
To witness against you this day.
That I have set before you.
This is the job of the preacher. Amen. I have set before you tonight.
Life. And death.
I set before you death.
Blessings. And cursing.
Cursings.
Therefore.
God says, therefore.
Choose life.
Read that again, my brother.
Therefore. Choose life.
God says, therefore, choose life.
Yeah.
Choose life tonight. If there's somebody here tonight want to choose life, come from the darkness of the way of death, come to the Lord's church tonight. You heard what you need to do to be saved. Say yes to Jesus Christ. You're not saying yes to me. You're saying yes to Jesus. He loved you enough to come all the way down to die such an ignominious death. Die so that you and I might live. And I'm saying to you today, say yes to Jesus. You're not saying yes to no man. Jesus. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to man. Ask Abraham. Abraham will tell you that God will bless you in your old age. Be as Barnabas. He will tell you that he's a God of consolation. See, ask Cornelius. He'll tell you those that are on the outside, he'll bring you on the inside. D, ask Daniel. He'll tell you he'll be a zookeeper in a lion's den. E, ask Elijah. He'll tell you when you're all by yourself, you're never outnumbered. F, ask Felix and Festus. They'll tell you your arms are too short to box with God. G, ask Gideon. He'll tell you that you can lay out your fleece and God will keep his word. H, ask Hezekiah. He'll tell you God will add years to your life. I, ask Isaiah. Isaiah tell you he's a mighty good Savior, even though he was a suffering Savior. Jeremiah will tell you, even though I made up my mind, I wasn't going to say nothing else about him, but his word became like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't keep it to myself. King David will tell you that the Lord is my shepherd. Lydia will tell you he'll open your heart. Moses will tell you with just a stutter and a stick, he made a way out of no way. Nehemiah will tell you he'll be your contract. Onesimus will tell you he'll be your freedom. Paul will tell you that the Lord, he will give you sufficient grace. Aquila and Priscilla tell you that the Lord will show you the way more perfectly. Rahab will tell you that the Lord will turn your life around. Stephen will tell you he'll stand up for you. Timothy will tell you he'll be your teacher. Uriah will tell you he'll be your vengeance. Vashti will tell you he'll be your courage. The woman at the well will tell you he'll be your living water. Xerxes will tell you he'll be a mind changer and a mind regulator. Yahweh's people will tell you that God is good even when you're not even good to him. And Zacchaeus will tell you when you're shorting up a tree, he'll bring you down and bring salvation to your house. I'm saying you ought to trust him tonight. Come on, give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. If you remember the body of Christ, you're going astray. Come on back home. The process, repentance, confession, and prayer. If you need prayer, come on right now. We got to stand. We're going to sing a psalm of encouragement. Come on to Jesus. Come on. 572.